Dateline Washington, Thursday, March 5th, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, the Obama healthcare agenda. The president convenes a healthcare summit at the White House Thursday. What is the real purpose of the summit? What is the real Obama healthcare agenda? And what would a more market-based approach to reforming our nation's healthcare system look like? We'll talk about all those questions and much more with Grace Marie Turner of the Galen Institute. Also in this edition, please keep the terrorists out of this country. We'll talk with Arizona Congressman John Shattuck about his new legislation that would forbid the transfer of Guantanamo detainees to prisons in this country once the prison camp is closed next year. Plus, the California marriage fight rages on. We'll talk with Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council, and the man who defended traditional marriage the first time before the California Supreme Court, about today's arguments questioning the legality of Proposition 8, the measure which voters approved last year, returning the definition of marriage to one man and one woman. And we'll be joined by John Gizzi of Human Events to discuss the week's top political stories. All that, plus Thursday's headlines, follow our discussion with Grace Marie Turner on the Healthcare Summit, and that begins right now. My first guest in this edition is Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the nation. We want to get her thoughts today as President Obama convenes a healthcare summit at the White House. He says it's urgent that healthcare reform be put on the table and passed this year. He says it's not only a healthcare crisis in this country, but also a fiscal crisis because of so much money being spent on a program that does not encourage prevention and does not streamline the system. And Grace Marie, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Well, you've been at several of these healthcare summits in the past. Is this really a listening opportunity for the administration, or are they more trying to go through their sales pitch to these industry leaders and healthcare policy advisors?
I think it's so much more of the latter. You know, it gives a lot of people the opportunity to feel like big shots because they were, in fact, invited to the White House summit to have this, to be part of this conversation about health reform. But I'm watching it on television, and it's clear that they're all saying the same thing. We have to have health insurance for everybody. We've got to get costs down. We've got to make sure that whatever we do is paid for. We want to make sure that the employment-based system isn't disrupted. But I have not heard any really new ideas put on the table that's going to really help us advance this. But the political agenda, I think, is to get as many people as possible in the room saying, we want to do this, and then hopefully people won't look at the details later on. But I think that's wishful thinking.
And in terms of what the fundamental priorities are for this administration, whether it's what they've already said in the recent days in pushing forward towards health care reform legislation or on the campaign trail, what are the basic bedrock principles of what the Obama team wants to accomplish
here? I think that's such an interesting question, Greg, because when you hear them talk about the biggest problem we have to solve in the health sector, it's the cost of health insurance and the cost of health care. But when you hear them talk about their goals, it's getting universal coverage for everybody to make sure everybody has health insurance. My sense is we've got to figure out which of those we're going to tackle first, and I don't think you're ever going to be able to tackle universal coverage until you address the cost equation first. And President Obama even said that during the campaign. He said it isn't that people don't want health insurance, it's that they can't afford it. But much of the conversation that I'm hearing in this summit is about coverage. We've seen in Massachusetts that if you simply try to put a lid on the pressure cooker of our health sector without dealing with these cost problems, you're not going to fix it. You're just going to lock in all the problems that we have today, and you're going to wind up with costs that cause eventually the whole thing to explode.
What's the smartest way to attack this, Grace Marie? Because you and I have talked many times, and you've pointed out, quite frankly, that you believe there needs to be some serious reforms to our healthcare industry in this country, but you come at it from a very different approach, a market-based approach. What are your principles?
Well, I had an opportunity to testify before Congress last week and to meet with a number of House leaders a couple of days after that, and I said there are really three things we need to do. We need to make sure that everybody has the opportunity to buy health insurance on a level playing field. Right now, the deck is absolutely stacked against lower middle-income working Americans who don't get health insurance at work, either because they can't afford it or because it's not offered. We need to give them the same incentive to purchase insurance that people with job-based health insurance get, and that means giving them a big tax break to do it. We're giving it to employment-based people with employment-based coverage now. They just don't know it, and we need to do the same thing. Some kind of subsidy to encourage people to buy health insurance. Then you need to give them a broader market to purchase coverage. They don't have health insurance at work. Therefore, we've got to give them new places to get group insurance. One of the things, the ways they could do that is by allowing people to buy health insurance across state lines so that they could join larger groups and communities that could be their negotiators to get a better deal on health insurance costs. And we need to create a stronger safety net for people with pre-existing conditions to get coverage. There's some great ideas out there. Idaho has figured out how to do this in the private sector. So broader access to private insurance, better purchasing mechanisms, subsidies for people at the lower end of the income scale and the uninsured to get insurance, and then a better safety net. This is not rocket science. We do not have to overturn one-sixth of our economy to solve these problems.
Grace Marie, the president has said that his approach to health care reform, and he said this without offering many details about what that reform would look like, would in the long run be far less expensive for American taxpayers than letting the system continue the way it is. What can you tell us about the accuracy of that?
I think that's just a fantasy. How on earth can you cover 47 million more people and have that be cheaper? It's going to be more expensive, especially the direction and the route that they are indicating that they want to take, and that is that the government is going to tell all of us that we have to have a comprehensive health insurance policy that looks like the one members of Congress do, costs about $14,000 a year for a family of four. That's, I think, very, very difficult to do, and we need to figure out how to get the cost down in a way that engages people in making smarter decisions about their use of the system and finding ways to get health insurance that matches their paycheck. There was a speaker just now from La Raza saying that she hears from people who are about to lose their homes, who've lost their jobs, who don't have health insurance, and she said health insurance is the thing that's most important to them. I'm thinking, is that more important than a job and your home? We've got to put this in perspective and understand that not only the government but individuals need to balance resources with reality and make sure absolutely that everybody has protective insurance coverage. But I don't think we can afford to have a soup to nuts, absolutely every single bill in health insurance is going to be covered by health insurance, and have that be a realistic proposal. And certainly, it's not going to be one that's going to save money in the long run.
Grace Marie, we've talked in the past about what a Canadian or British-type healthcare system would look like in this country in terms of long waits for care, potential rationing of treatment. What else would more government intrusion into the system end up meaning?
Well, the proposals that they're offering are a new government plan, sort of look like Medicare for working Americans, that, you know, we're already about to bankrupt the country with Medicare as it is. Why would we create another entitlement program is number one. They also want to have a government agency, 15 government officials who are going to make decisions about what medical treatments are good or bad so that they can be recommended to other physicians. And ultimately what's going to happen is the physicians are going to be paid based upon their compliance with these federal regulations. You're going to drive innovation, you're going to drive creativity out of the system because everybody's going to be too afraid to not follow the federal rules about what the government has decided is proper medical care. It's going to remove the art as well as the science of medicine and really put it into the political realm. It frightens me to see the direction of centralization, government control in so many aspects of healthcare decision making.
Follow up on the innovation point you were just making there, Grace Marie. What types of innovation could be stunted or even level off if there's less incentive for these companies and these doctors to be innovative?
Well, it's everything from how a surgery is performed, but it also in new medicines. If already pharmaceutical companies spend more than $1 billion going through the approval process to get a new drug to market, if they then think they have to go through another 4 or 5 year approval process to get the drug approved for payment, as happens already in many European countries, that is going to absolutely stifle innovation. It's going to make it so prohibitively expensive to even start the process of developing new drugs that we're going to see fewer new medicines, and we're going to ultimately not see those cures for cancer and Parkinson's and Alzheimer's that I think we could see in our lifetime that will be inhibited if you've got the federal government basically putting a wall up and saying, well, we're going to decide whether or not we're going to pay for it. If you can't get it into the market, then you're never going to be able to recoup your research investment, and investors certainly are not going to put money on the table for that research.
So some of the consequences of this can be seen and others can't be seen because we just won't ever see necessarily.
That's right, the invisible consequences.
And real quickly, Grace Marie, you mentioned you were up on Capitol Hill last week a couple of different times. What are you hearing from members on either side of the aisle about where they see this headed and what their priorities are?
I think they really believe that there is going to be a major effort, a big bill in Congress, maybe even as early as this summer. It is really on the front burner up there. Members are wanting to talk about this. There are a lot of public as well as private meetings, not only this White House summit. I think there's a big agenda, which makes it so much more important that American people really pay attention, not to just listen to the warm and fuzzy language, but to really look at the details and say, what is this going to mean for my ability to have the kind of health insurance I want, to see the doctors I want, for my doctor's ability to make decisions about how I'm treated and cared for, and not have some politician or bureaucrat in Washington making those decisions and usurping him. That's really what people need to look at. How is this going to affect my access to the healthcare system? If it's going to facilitate it and it's going to put doctors and patients in charge, then it's the right direction. If it's going to put politicians and bureaucrats in charge, that's not medical progress, and it's not going to be good for any of us in the long run.
Grace Marie, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks, as always, for your time.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Grace Marie Turner is president of the Galen Institute. This is Dateline Washington.